This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi, as always, thank you so much for being here. So if you have a small products business, or perhaps you're just in the process of starting one up, or even just thinking about it, you might be in a position where you're doing everything yourself. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, in the beginning, perhaps it does. But, in future, it's always good if you can outsource a little bit, get a little bit of help and get some time back. So today I'm speaking to Melissa Gage. And Melissa is the founder of Spare My Time, which is an innovative business support and virtual assistant service for small businesses and professionals, as well as a franchise model for those looking to work flexibly while still having the support of a network. So as Melissa will explain, she hires mums to work in her business, and they provide VA support in all kinds of areas. And today we're going to talk specifically about products businesses and the kind of things that you could perhaps outsource to a VA in your business to free up a bit more time for yourself. So this is, I think, a really interesting conversation. Personally, I'm terrible at outsourcing, have good intentions, but sometimes it just seems easier to hold on to things. And we're going to talk through some of the concerns people have, some of the reasons people don't outsource, and Melissa's going to really help us understand the benefits of getting some help when you need it, and when obviously when you can afford to do that, and when you're at the right stage. So we cover a lot, so I'm not going to talk anymore, and instead I'm going to introduce you to Melissa. So hi Melissa, thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
So could we start, please, if you give an introduction to yourself, your business, and what it is that you do?
Well, I'm Melissa Gage, and I'm the founder of a business called Spare My Time. We provide virtual assistance, predominantly in admin, bookkeeping, and social media. All of our VAs are mums. And so the reality is they are all upgrading their skills. They're all incredibly experienced, but because of the pressures of childcare, we are assisting small businesses to get exceptional support at the same time of creating flexible working for them.
Amazing, thank you. So obviously I've invited you on here to talk about the kind of things that a VA could help a business with. So I'm assuming that some people will be at the stage where they haven't even thought about ever sort of wanting help. So actually maybe that's the best place to start. So when is a good time to start working with a VA, would you say?
Well, I mean, the reality is the best time to start working with a VA is before you actually need one, because as soon as you start feeling the pressure that you need additional hands on decks, you are probably actually losing momentum, and it will take you a certain amount of time to be able to pick that speed up. And also you probably won't have the structures and flows in place in your business to be efficient. However, that's obviously an ideal world. So I have sort of two little exercises that I give people to work out if it will be efficient, effective, and economical for them to start outsourcing. Now, as a rule of thumb, a VA is always the most economical way to get support, because the reality is that you're not having to pay any fixed costs. You know, they will be pretty self-sufficient. They have their own computer, they have their own systems and stuff like that. And they also have a vast array of experience, because they'll be working with other people at the same time. So on that basis, it's always an economical choice. However, the two little exercises that I suggest to people that they do when they're thinking, do they need a little bit of support, are these. And the first one is work out what your own hourly rate is. Now, that might be very simple if you charge on an hourly rate, or it could be that you work out how much you want to earn in the year and you divide it by 2080, and that will come back to your hourly rate. Now, if your hourly rate is £40 an hour, for example, look at what a VA would cost on an hourly rate to do those tasks that you would be doing which aren't revenue generating, because it's key. You know, your principal business activity is what you need to focus on. Anything that distracts you from your principal activity is not making you money. So those are the tasks that you're going to look at outsourcing. So, for example, the average rate of a VA is about £25 an hour in the UK for admin. If you're earning more than £25 an hour, then it's worth outsourcing anything that is not revenue producing. So first of all, work out your hourly rate and then just do some basic maths. The second exercise that I would think is worthwhile is just spend a couple of days writing every task that you do and then go through that list and work out which of those tasks you need to do. They're either urgent, revenue generating, or you're the only person who has the skills who can do them. And then work out from the rest of the list what you could outsource. And in that working out what you could outsource, you'll probably work out things that don't actually need to be done as well. So just bin those. And by the time you've done those two exercises, you'll have quite a good idea of what you can feasibly outsource and be really specific, and if it's going to be cost effective for you to do so.
Okay, thank you. And by doing those exercises, would that give you an idea of how much time you needed a VA for as well? Because I mean, some VAs I know charge by the hour, some want you to sort of commit to a block a month. How would you work out sort of what kind of time commitment you needed from somebody?
Well, that really, really depends on their experience. So if you have a really experienced VA, the reality is that they will statistically work three times quicker than you will. So if you're spending hours going through your emails, the reality is your VA has a skill set to be able to monitor and manage your emails at a much quicker rate than you would be able to. So it has to be a dialogue that you have with them. It also depends on your VA, you know, as you said, that they might do day blocks or half day blocks, or they might do hourly blocks, all of which can be very successful. It again has to be a conversation with how they work. You might find if you take a day block, just be mindful that you need to work out, you know, what your rate of return is on that. If you're going to have somebody for 8 hours effectively, which is a day, how quickly a task is going to be turned around, how much of that day you're going to have allocated to your tasks, because they're probably be managing more than one client. You know, just exactly what does that mean? Obviously the most transparent way of doing things is on an hourly rate, but not everybody works in that way. But really it's a conversation to have with your VA, because they will know how quickly their skill sets, you know, lend towards the task that you're asking them to do.
Thank you for that. And, you know, I didn't actually consider the fact that an experienced VA could do things quicker, because probably a lot of us, there are definitely tasks that I feel I can do very well and I can do very quickly. And of course, somebody else could do them, but then you think, oh, it will take time to explain how to do it. And you think, oh, so it's probably better I do it myself, because it will take time to explain how someone else needs to do it. Hadn't actually thought that, yes, of course, you need to invest that time, but afterwards, they probably will be able to do it quicker and more efficiently than you do. Hadn't even considered that. So thank you, because I think that's a really good insight.
We see it the whole entire time. And it's, you know, a lot of people put off getting a VA because they're scared of that that period of trying to acclimatize them to their business and getting them up to speed on their systems and all those kind of things. But the reality is if you've got an experienced VA, they would have seen a number of systems already. They might have better systems that they can suggest because they're working with a number. And also, and this is the way that I explain it, because this is how I kind of look at my brain to, you know, the girls who I work with. Everybody's brain works differently, and hence everybody has different skill sets. Most people who lend themselves towards being a VA have brains that work in a different way to, say, some people who are maybe more artistic or, you know, sales orientated or whatever it might be. But the way that I describe it, my brain feels like cooked spaghetti. And that's how my brain works. You know, it's grasshopper. I think very quickly. I do, you know, I roll things really quickly. I get things done very quickly. But the majority of girls who work with me as VAs, I always think their brains are straight spaghetti. So they look at tasks and they will absolutely streamline them. They will see, you know, that glimmer of light that I wouldn't have seen because I'll be off doing something else or being distracted, or my magpie brain will be off somewhere else, which is probably a typical sign of an entrepreneur. But the reality is they look at something and they see a very, very clear system and flow. And that's why they can do things, you know, what you might be able to do, you probably can do it, but they can just do it better, quicker, and probably more precise. And it's not saying that anyone's better than anyone else. It's just a different way of doing things.
That's really interesting. Thank you. And so what are the kind of things that a VA can help your business with?
It depends what your business is, number one. And it depends who you're talking to, number two. So a VA is a massively, massively, massively broad sweeping spectrum. And, you know, in our business, we've got admin, we've got bookkeeping, we've got social media, and we put them into those silos because they are totally different disciplines. But some VAs might be able, we've got one VA who works on every single discipline, which is quite unusual, but a lot of VAs can do a lot of stuff. If you're talking about a product-based business, it can be anything from, you know, incredibly practical stuff, just helping you with orders, helping you make sure that things, you know, do the completing finishing so that they can make sure that your client's experience is seamless, which, whilst that's an incredibly important part of the process and is the difference between being, you know, A class and being C class, you could have the same product, but if you have that wonderful customer flow that it just looks absolutely seamless, it puts you into that that sort of different kind of level, doesn't it, when somebody thinks, god, that was just, you know that was just really slick. That is the kind of thing that people can help you with. Our girls do a lot of like product analysis research. We've just had somebody doing some really wonderful packaging research for one of our product-based businesses, and that's again taken her business from, she's got a beautiful product, but the research that Rosie's done on her behalf has got these wonderful packages and is taking it into that sort of luxury field. So those things that, whilst you could do it yourself, you know, somebody else who it's their role to do will just do it better because they don't have any distraction.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
And that's before you start talking about, you know, doing your invoicing and your bill and all that kind of stuff. But in a very practical term, if you want your business to be just run very smoothly and reflect incredibly well to clients, it gives it a big edge.
Yeah, thank you. And I think, and also, you know, VAs can obviously help with things like customer service and answering customer emails and queries. Things that I've had VAs do for me in the past as well include, so you can get VAs that maybe specialize in some of the software you might be using as a products business. So something like Shopify or eBay or Amazon, you know, if you want people to upload listings for you or update your inventory or anything like that. And actually, if you're listening to this and you're just getting started, even things like contacting suppliers, if you're looking for quotes, if you know, you can provide a list and you can ask a VA to do that work for you, because while it's fairly, you know, it's not particularly difficult. It does take time, you know, going back and forth and keeping on top of it.
We're actually doing exactly that for somebody at the moment who's got, you know, they've got a child's bath product, beautiful product, and actually just won a load of awards. But Alice, one of our girls, is she's calling around all the buyers, luxury buyers, and she's working out what the processes are to be able to get the product into them, which absolutely, you know, anybody can do, but the reality is it takes time and dedication, and you know, and when that's your role, you will take it to the next level, won't you? You will make sure you do it incredibly well, because that is what your focus is, and that is what, you know, and that's what you're there to deliver. So yes, that's a really good one, and we do have we do get asked for that quite a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anything that's going to take you a lot of time, and this is something I've learned from my own experience, anything that's going to take you a lot of time and takes you away from the things that only you can do is worth considering investing in, because you can spend hours on tasks that are important, but actually, you know, you don't necessarily need to be the one to do them.
Absolutely. And going back to your comment about software, it is a really good one. But that in that circumstance, you know, we do a lot of stuff with software, and particularly integrating it with things like Xero, which is an accounting platform. A lot of people come to us with Shopify, and probably their, you know, books are not the straightest way that they would have liked them to be, or the neatest form that they would have liked to, but they wouldn't have understood, you know, the different automations that you can have, or you know, those little things that by talking to someone who is effectively seeing it in a lot of different other scenarios, you can actually access a greater skill set and a greater uses of software that you're working. So yes, it absolutely goes down to the uploading photos, or, you know, just that those manual tasks, which quite frankly, you don't need to do yourself, to actually being able to utilize your software to a much better degree, because you're using someone who uses it a lot.
Yeah, and I'm guessing as well, another advantage is that, you know, you're working with someone who's worked with other people and is probably a lot more familiar with some things than you are, especially if you're just starting out. And even if you've been going for a while, there's, you know, if someone's working with something day in, day out, or they've worked with multiple clients, chances are that they're going to know a few things that you don't, which is invaluable. I remember it was a while ago now, somebody showed me how to integrate my inventory management system with all the platforms that I sell my products on. Yeah. And it was just amazing not having to actually manually go in and say, oh, I've only got 8 of these now, or this one's sold out, but just having everything integrated. It was like, you know, that one thing saves so much time, and I never ever would have even thought about it and knew how to do it. And to someone else, that was such a simple thing that probably took, you know, half an hour, and it's just saved so much time. So yeah, absolutely. I'm all for getting help.
And part of that is actually just knowing that that software is available, because why should you know, really, quite frankly? Because that's not, you know, that's not your business. That's something that facilitates your business, but that's not your business. So why should you be an expert in everything surrounding what lets you do your business? You shouldn't be scared to help other, you know, ask people for help and ask people for ideas. And that's not just on using a VA, but that's asking other people. And that's why, you know, things like podcasts are fantastic, because it's a sharing of knowledge and experience. But the reality with a VA is that they are surrounded by this the whole entire time, and they're surrounded by people's problems, which is a very, very good learning place. So, you know, never be scared to ask beyond the just outsourcing what you don't need to do yourself. Never be scared to ask your VA, you know, what they think, what they've seen, what have they seen work with other people, because you're sitting with a treasure trove of experience there. And they might, you know, they might have some gems that you just are not aware of.
That's really interesting. Thank you. So we're definitely both on board with the fact that having a VA can really help your business. But how would you go about finding a VA? And specifically, what's your best advice on finding a VA that's going to really suit you and your business and the way you work? And I guess who you are as a person. And I know that's quite a big question, but I know you have a lot of experience. So what would you say?
VAs come in many, many formats. So the first is doing those exercises, writing that list. you will have a successful relationship with your VA. There are lots of different pointers on this front, but the key is to be incredibly specific with what you need done. There's no point in going to a VA and say, well, I'd like to have my bookkeeping done, and I'd also like you to manage my Instagram, and I'd like you to upload my stuff on eBay. And, you know, because the reality is that is multiple skill sets. But if you are very specific with what you need to do, you can sit them and say, this is my list of things I need done. What can you do from my list? And you can work out if those are priorities to you. And don't believe anyone who can say they can do everything, because you can't be brilliant at absolutely everything in life, but you need to work out that their skill sets align with your priorities. That's the number one key thing to do. In terms of finding a VA, you know, ask people who are in similar industries to you. That's a really good place to go. There are lots of sort of Facebook groups to go on to that you can have a look and you can ask around. And, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people on, you know, sort of freelance Facebook groups, and I'm sure you'll be inundated with people who are keen to talk to you. I would talk to people you know in your industry or who do similar things to you, and ask them if they know anyone or have a referral. But remember that a VA is a very, very personal thing. So what works for somebody else might not work for you. So always have that in your back of mind. You've got lots of different opportunities when you hire a VA. You can go direct, which is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There are lots of VAs out there who are working on a freelance basis, and you know, and you can just go to them direct. The upside of it is that you will be, you know, they can only have a certain amount of clients, and that will be you. There are certain legal and technical things, IR35, if anyone is aware of this, is a piece of legislation coming in this year. It's been delayed. You have to be very, very careful if you are employing a VA one-on-one like that, that you're employing a freelancer, that you are not their sole employer. I'm not going to go into IR35 because you're all, you know, like fall asleep on it, but just be very careful that if you are employing someone for a certain amount of hours, that they can demonstrate that they've got a number of other clients, because otherwise you might find that you fall foul of IR35 and you're deemed their employer.
Okay, before we do move on from that point, is there a certain number of hours that that IR35 covers? Because I'm familiar with IR35, it's a bit mouthful, isn't it? So for example, if someone's doing sort of 5 hours a month, let's say 10 hours a month, I'm assuming that would count as part time. But is there a sort of a limit at which point people are going to start looking at you and saying you're actually this person's employer?
There absolutely is, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to give advice
No problem.
As a rule of thumb, if you are employing someone on a weekly basis for a set number of hours, and those hours are more than, you know, if you've got somebody for 1 hour a week, quite frankly, it's going to be hard for anyone to argue that you were their main employer. But if you were employing somebody for a day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, but in a freelance capacity, the reality is you need to be comfortable that you are not their main source of income. As a rule of thumb, I would say that's probably quite a good place to start. Because if it is that you are their significant employer, then they should probably have some employment rights from you. That, you know, that's the basis. It's good legislation. The basis of it is that freelancers don't miss out on employment rights. So just be mindful if you're starting to get to that place where you're employing someone for 20 hours a week, quite frankly, they are an employee, aren't they? So there's a sort of a certain moral code to it. But if you're having, you know, a handful of hours a month, then you're not in the kind of space that you
need. Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry to sort of go down that rabbit hole. I just felt that, just in case anyone heard that and sort of immediately started worrying about what that meant.
Absolutely.
At least hopefully we've put some minds at rest that, I mean, because I think for most of us, the hours we're going to be looking at are going to be, I think, not even a part-time job, you know.
And that is totally fine. You'll be absolutely fine. And if it's on a monthly basis, that's absolutely fine. If you've got 2-3 hours a week, you know, even if you're doing a day a week, if your VA is very active, you know, and you're one of 20 clients, you know, it's neither here nor there. You're not their main employer and it's not something to worry about. But it is just, it is something that you, when, once you start venturing into this world of like help getting people to help you virtually and remotely and on a freelance basis, it is something that is definitely worth it.
Okay, well, thank you. And sorry for taking you off track.
No, don't worry at all. Oh God, I could talk about IR 35 for hours. The other thing actually, and it sort of does lead into it, is the other option is to, you know, obviously use the agency, of which we are in essence, we're an agency, even though all our VAs work for us, you know, Spare My Time and we have clients. Effectively, it's an agency type model. And the benefit of an agency type model is IR 35. You know, it's our responsibility as an agency to make sure that we are managing that. But also, you know, it is the diversity of skill sets. So if you have an individual VA, which can be fantastic, you can build a wonderful relationship with them. The reality is that you are also exposed to their skills gaps, just as you're exposed to your own skills gaps, you know, on the basis that everybody can't do everything, they can't be brilliant at everything, you're exposed to their skills gaps. On the model that we work, or, you know, you can get an agency who will find you a VA, which will help with that matching, you know, so that worry of who do I need, where do I start? Are we going to be a good skills match? Are we going to be a good personality match? Because that's another really big thing. You know, it's a very, very personal relationship with somebody who is helping you with your business or your personal life, or, you know, it's a very close relationship that you have. So it's a, you know, personalities do play a big role. So you can have somebody who will actually go and find you, a bit like a recruitment agent, or you can have agencies such as ours where, you know, we have a number of VAs. And whilst you will have your own VA, who is your point of contact, if they find that they have a skills gap, they can then reach into the group and say, my client has got this problem, or this is what the issue we're looking to address right now. Has anyone come across it? And there's a skills share. So that is another option out there for you. The final option, and this is the only one that I would say just be a little bit wary of, is going abroad for your VAs, which is very popular, you know, going to somewhere where you will be able to employ someone for not a lot of money. These can work very, very well. I'm not going to diss it on the quality front or anything like that. The only thing I would say, if you are in a product type business or you have customer service as part of the role, just really make sure that the person that you decide to employ has a cultural understanding of your client base. Because there can be a lot missed in a sort of lack of cultural understanding. And if, you know, if you're looking for somebody to help you with your customer relations, you need to have somebody who understands exactly what that entails. So that would be the only thing I'd say to watch out for on that front.
That's good advice. Thank you. I guess, yeah, whoever you choose to work with, whoever, wherever they're based, they need to have a good understanding of who your customer is.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So so once you've found a VA to work with, what's some advice you've got on how you can have a really good, productive working relationship? I suppose knowing what you want from that person is a good first step. Is there anything else that you can do either ahead of bringing someone on, or especially particularly in the early stages, to just make sure that you both get what you need out of it?
To be incredibly clear, you need to be clear, and this is the whole entire time, this never stops, you know, to be very good at communication and to be very clear. The more precise your instructions are, the better a job your VA can do. And it's like, this is the same in life with anything, isn't it? If you give very clear, concise instructions, people can follow, then you're going to get exactly the result that you want. The reality is it doesn't always work that way, doesn't it? You know, you're likely to be in a bit of a rush and go, do you think you could do, you know, could you sort out that customer who asked us this question? And you'll put a lot of, you need them to be very proactive. The reality is, don't try and jump to that stage straight away. There's no way that somebody can understand your business as soon as you hit go. So write them a detailed list of the tasks in general you would like them to do. Write them the systems that you use, and you know, and ask them if they've got experience in those systems. Explain to them if there's, you know, any other systems you'd like them to have a look at while they're doing it. So just so that they have that kind of general overview. The amount of time that you put in at the beginning towards educating your VA, you will win that time back in the long run, because they will be in a better position to be able to hit the ground running. If suddenly, you know, every 2 weeks you're having to give them a bit more information and sort of drip feed it, they're never going to get the whole picture, and it's going to take them until you've finished giving them all the information, however many weeks that might take, to be up to speed. If you sit down, you know, have however long it's going to take, with some detailed notes that they can then refer back to, or, you know, have a Zoom meeting and record the call so that they can go back into it. You know, they're brilliant. There's so much fantastic technology nowadays, but have a point that they can go back and they can refer back to what you've asked them to do, because, you know, it just gives them something to fall back on and make sure that they can deliver the job to your expectations. Other than that, communication. Communication is absolutely the number one way of getting a great result from your VA.
Amazing, thank you. So just before we finish up, Melissa, what is your number one piece of advice for someone looking to work with a VA? And it's possibly something you've already covered, and that's fine, but what would be the one takeaway you'd want people to have?
Just keep talking to them. Don't leave them to go off on a spiral. You know, just keep talking to them, ask for updates, be very precise in when you want work returned to you, you know, give deadlines, just be very clear with your communication.
That's great, thank you. And finally, Melissa, where can people find more about you and Spare My Time and all the services that you and your VAs offer?
Well, we've got our website, which is sparemytime.com, but I'm very active on Instagram at Spare My Time, and I'm always sharing business tips, productivity tips on there. So come and say hi there. I've always got something to say.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And I will link through to everything in the show notes as well to make it super easy for people to find you. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for all that you've shared. Yeah, I think this is really valuable. Thank you.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome.
I really hope you enjoyed this conversation with Melissa. As always, if you have a second to rate and review the show, that would be fantastic. And please don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, so you don't miss out on any of the fantastic interviews we've got coming up. So thank you again for being here. Really hope you enjoyed it, and speak with you next week.
Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.